Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging.
Sorry!
Are you seriously just going to interrupt me?
Apparently.
Why?
Should we start over?
No. Leave this in, because this is utter bullshit. What the hell? I do the intro, we agree.
This is a precursor to things to come.
Anyway, is it? This was not planned.
Alright, fine, go.
Let me do the intro. Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
Uh-huh. And this is the podcast where we talk about our opinions on our favorite movies and TV shows and everything like that.
Everything.
And then we're on season 2, episode 5 of Bridgerton, called An Unthinkable Fate.
Right, so we got the usual disclaimers.
You already encountered one.
So. Yeah, which would be cursing.
Yes.
Cursing happens.
Mm-hmm.
What else happens? Oh, we do have spoilers, and there's nothing really exciting about this episode as far as like thinking hard
not
about it.
Not really. So, I mean there's like one part, but it's not really that crazy.
No.
But it's not anything to really talk about.
No.
So,
I mean, we are going to talk about this episode because we're going to talk about it. But in any case, it's an unthinkable fate.
I'll pull up.
Oh, wait. We drink.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And we know things. So what I am having, that my beverage of choice is, it does not look like a cocktail. If you look on Facebook, it's going to look like a mug full of stuff. And it's basically chai with some Kahlua and cinnamon schnapps in it. It is tasty, and it is actually a drink that my friends and I invented on a girls' weekend.
That sounds about right.
Which, yeah, exactly. Big shout out to Sue Harbury for introducing us to the Tazo Chai Latte stuff.
Shout out to the girls.
Shout out to the girls. And so I'm having a chai cocktail. What are you having?
Just chai tea.
Because, you know, chai is good. And yeah. I have made chai from scratch before, but it just is so convenient the way the world is, where you can just, like...
Shout out to Twinings for making life easier on everybody.
Exactly. So, please, you know, join us. I wanted to have something I really liked to talk about this episode, because there are things I don't like about this episode.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's have the recap for An Unthinkable Fate.
All right. This is the recap that Netflix gave. Rattled by Antony's hasty nuptial plans, Kate receives advice from Lady Danbury. Eloise spars with a new ally. Emotions run high during a dinner party. Yep, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much, like, you didn't miss much that we care about, so.
Right, well, so, but there is stuff that happens in this that is aggravating. So, I want to talk about the aggravating parts.
So, let's go ahead and get started.
It does not start with an aggravating part. It starts with a kind of lovely little flashback.
Oh, I just wrote down flashback to heavy breathing.
Right.
Because that's all that happens.
Right, but Kate is flashing back to Antony's hand on her chest.
Okay, this, to be fair, and this is going to say a lot about me as a person, I guess, especially, or this, also with the season, I kept, like, rewinding to watch this particular part when I first watched it, like, kept rewinding it because the acting was great, but also, like, I was like, is this all we get? Like, this is the entirety of the flashback? Like,
spoiler.
Yes, they're breathing on each other, ooh, it's just like, come on, you can do better than that, Bridgerton.
And honestly,
and it kind of made me sad.
So, compared to the book, this is part of the reason that this whole season aggravated the crap.
But whatever. I still like it, though. I like the flashback.
Right, I mean,
like
their chemistry is really good when we get to see it, which is pretty rare. So she has, when it comes back to our time or this timeline, she has this lovely turquoise dress on.
I did write a note down. I love the turquoise dress.
Yeah, she has some lovely blues and teals and turquoises in this episode on Kate, and so they're really, really pretty.
And she's fanning herself because she's just really overwhelmed by all the bullshit that just went down.
Well, right, so Antony shows up at Danbury House to, I guess, hang out with the family, and as he comes in, he passes Kate and he nearly touches her. Like it's
almost a brush on the hand, almost.
Right,
it's
right.
Not.
Like his pinky reaches out. It calls back a little bit to the Daphne and Simon by the painting thing, but they actually touched.
But they actually
damn it.
Did, and that was like way before they even like talked about marriage.
Yeah, and so you know, this is just.
Whatever.
There's a lot of stupid. Anyway,
then
the
queen's there. They're discussing whether or not they're going to need a special license. They're like, no. And they can't help but... What do you...
Irrelevant.
Anyway, sorry. She just randomly pointed to something, and I don't know what it was. But anyway, that's not important. Antony and Kate look at each other, and they're both very uncomfortable.
Right. So, the queen, it's so silly to me, too. Like, she's like, oh, I need to take credit for this match, and you're going to have your wedding at the palace kind of thing. And I'm saying that because she's the diamond.
Well, also because, like, they were originally going to have it at Aubrey Hall. Like, he was like, I think we should get married in the country or something. And then the queen's like, oh, no, you're having it in town. You have no choice. We're going to hold it at the palace. I'm like, what?
Right, and there's, like, a flashback to... I thought it was Antony having the flashback this time to their near kiss, to more heavy breathing.
No, it's Kate.
It was Kate. And Kate almost spills her tea. Mm-hmm. And I have, in all caps, this is bullshit.
It's just so annoying because I think that... Again, back to my, like, if you hadn't listened to the last episode, do that. But, like, I had this whole hypothetical that would have been so much better, where he proposes to Kate instead of Edwina, and all of this bullshit could have been avoided.
Right. So this whole episode, and I'm going to get into it more later, there's just so much of this idea that Antony could never marry Kate.
Which is bullshit.
Right. It's absurd. So but we're going to talk about that more as it goes on, because it aggravates the living crap out of me.
It does.
All right. But, you know, she almost spills her tea.
Well, spills her tea when she hears the word love match.
Right. Oh, yeah. The queen calls them a love match. And
then she almost spills and she's right. like, sorry.
She's making eye contact with Antony. Antony knows better. I mean, it's like, what is wrong with you people? So they cut to the Lady Whistledown voiceover. Antony's in his tub.
No, he's not. Not in this part.
Is he? Right at the beginning. It's a montage.
I must have been writing something down.
Right. So, and again, it's one of those things you see a lot of Antony sitting in a tub.
But you don't get to see much else, do you?
Damn it. And then there's Prudence lecturing the other girls and showing off her ring in some garden, I guess, or somewhere that people
something
are. Like, and Eloise is talking to Penelope and making fun of Prudence.
And then Penelope's like, yeah, my mom is now just ignoring me entirely. And it's just like, all right. And then that's the entirety of that scene. So I'm like, all right, fine.
Then we got to
That was kind of the same anyway.
Right. So we got to Lord Featherington and New Guy and Lady Featherington. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I almost
fell asleep right there.
Fighting about how they have no money and Prudence doesn't have a dowry and it's all Lady Featherington's fault.
This is literally just last season. This is just last season's problems again.
It's just so boring.
With a slightly different person and it's not being her husband. But he has debts for different reasons. And he doesn't have money for different reasons because he's faking the ruby mines America.
Well, here's the thing. Toward the end, you realize he's not the one who thinks faking the ruby mines is a good idea. It is...
Lady Featherington. Well, he started it.
Right.
But
he wasn't going to profit off of it. And that was her idea.
No, yeah, we'll get to that. I don't care about that part.
Really don't. It comes back, but whatever. But then we cut to Benedict.
I said this while we were watching it live. And I, like, he's just walking down the halls of the Art Academy or whatever. And I just wrote down, Benedict's art thing. Yay? Question mark.
And my response was, Benedict's art thing. Gay? Question mark.
Both of which could be true.
Could be true. Because, you know, they go in and they're starting to, like, draw or whatever, and there's, like, a guy who clearly is interested in other guys, and he's telling Benedict, you know, all of these female forms look the same, but Benedict is like, ooh, the model.
The model's nude, and they're drawing her.
Right, and so
she's gorgeous.
She is. She's lovely. And
I feel like I've seen her in some way. I don't remember what.
Yeah, she does look familiar, and I need to look her up, but I haven't. Mm-hmm. So... Benedict clearly likes her, and that is that.
All right, and then we go to a really fun
scene.
The
Bridgertons,
I love it when the Bridgertons are all together as a family, and they're just, like, talking about random stuff. Antony is basically, like, talking about, oh, yeah, I need this before the wedding, I need to do this, that, and the other. He's trying to rush everything, and he's trying not to really think about all the, like, implications of what he's doing.
Right, so he's busy making lists. Like, you know, he's being Mr. Businessman. Like, okay, we need, like, the best silver and
He's not excited. He's just doing it.
Right.
He's just moving through it.
Right, and then, Violet knows. And she's like, come on. You know, she
get a little excited. And yeah. You guys have time. Savor this. And it's like, I don't want to savor it. I don't care.
Right, but then there's a discussion about Kate moving into the house.
No, yeah. Hyacinth, they're talking about how Edwina's going to move in, and that's going to be a whole thing. And then Hyacinth, I love Hyacinth. Hyacinth's like, what about the sister? And then he stops everything, turns around, and is like, what about her?
He nearly drops his tea.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what about the sister? And then she's like, well, would Kate be, like, staying here? And then Ellis is like, yes, finally, that's a great idea. I would have another intelligent woman in this house.
And then, because the best line is like, I think you're overcounting on that.
I love Benedict. Oh my God,
it's so great.
Oh, and also whenever, like, Antony was talking about, like, braiding the horse's manes or whatever, and Benedict's just like, are you going to braid us too? Yes. I love the British and Rose. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah, and so similarly, because this started with Antony getting fitted for his bridal suit, I guess, mm-hmm. and then so they cut to Edwina trying on dresses for the wedding, and she's talking about the wedding like, oh, well, you know, we need a special dress for you, Kate, because this is your triumph too, like it's a... I don't know, like, she's
I
like,
don't know what's,
I don't know.
What Edwina's
she's
thinking
so
right now.
Superficial. It's just like, ugh, vomit.
I don't know if superficial is the right word for her, honestly, in my head. Because
Naive, stupid.
Naive, stupid is close. But, like, the thing is, the way the scene starts is that Kate's just being, tortured throughout this entire episode. It's so sad to see. And so, Edwina...
Some of it she causes herself. Go ahead.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But right now, it's mostly just people torturing her with, like, talking about this. And Edwina's like, oh, did I mention that the queen got the archbishop to... He's going to marry us. It's like, you mentioned that a couple times. And she's just like, well, I'm just very happy. This is your triumph, too. If whatever you said to Antony at Aubrey Hall, it clearly made him want to, propose. And I'm just like,
and
oh.
And Kate's kind of like, oh, my God. And then Kate's like, well, I'm going back to India as soon as this thing's over. And,
so, whatever.
Right.
Edwina's kind of sad about that because she doesn't want her sister to leave.
But she's like, well, you're going to come back for this and you're going to come back for that.
You're going to come visit. And it's just like, Kate's going to do what she wants to do.
Right, right.
I love that Edwina cares so much about her sister that she wants her to stay. But it's so...
She's so fucking fluffy. This is one of the things that she does. So, it'll be so nice to be here because Auntie said there might be snow in the winter. Snow would be exciting. And it's like, oh my God, you're five.
I think that, like, yeah, that's the naive part of her. But, like, I also
think
you need to think
of us as family.
Well, also, just Kate is, like, she's thinking about this stuff and she's just like, I don't think that Edwina's thinking about, like, how Kate needs to move on with her life. It's not like Kate's going to stay with them. Even regardless of if going back to India was the plan or not, Kate has her own life to live. Yes, like, Lady Mary's going to move in with them. They're going to do whatever with that stuff, and Edwina's going to move in. It's like, but expecting Kate to do that and live her entire life just at the house doing nothing, like, I don't think that Edwina's really thinking about, like...
She's not thinking about anyone but herself.
And her future happiness with potential happiness with Antony that she has in her mind.
Right. Then we move to Penelope and the Modiste talking business and ambition and other boring things. Yawn, yawn, yawn.
And then this is going to be a short episode. We're just moving through it.
I've got pages and pages of yelling at things.
We'll get there. We'll get there. And then you go back to Lady Danbury's house, and then you see Kate's going up the stairs. She's arrived at the house, and then she goes into the room. And you see Antony, and he's waiting for Edwina to get the ring fitted.
Right.
And the guy is from Game of Thrones, who's the ring fitter.
The jeweler,
it's
yeah.
So great, the jeweler.
He's from the Vale.
And he's just like, can I get some cake? And then she's like, yeah, sure. And then he sits down.
I love this, too, as a callback. I love lemon cake, which, of course, there's a whole discussion when Sansa's in the Vale about how much she loves lemon cakes.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's not... I don't think that's what they had in mind, but that's kind of funny. I don't think it's a callback, necessarily. It's just a funny coincidence. Yeah. Anyway, so he's sitting down eating his cake, and then, like, Kate's sitting at the couch, and then Antony's standing up, and there's an awkward silence, and you just see him eating cake in the background. It's really...
Right, but then they have this whole discussion about, oh, we nearly had to be, like, forced to be married
in front of him
sitting there. Exactly. Like, this is absurd. Like, he's deaf. I mean, there's nothing that indicates that this guy is deaf, just that he likes cake. So those things are not the same. Just but I mean, I'm so annoyed. They're having this like argument about, look, how can you do this when all the stuff that went on between us and blah blah blah.
And then it's just like being stuck in a wedding with you is an unthinkable fate or something like that.
Right. And so like no, right. So what she talks about is like we nearly had to be forced to be married, just like Prudence and what's his face. And he's like, well, I'm glad we missed that unthinkable fate. And it's like,
and then Kate's just like, huh.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Anthony.
We avoided that one. Okay. Yeah, wonderful.
Great job, Anthony. Brenda Shen. Great job.
Right. And
diffuse that situation.
I want to do a couple more things. Just that, you know, this
I didn't
is, again.
Any
there's
quotes,
a bunch of dumb that goes on here. Like the jeweler is like, oh, I'll try the ring on Kate. And both Anthony and Kate, like, you know, are moved by it.
Yeah,
like,
he puts the ring on her finger.
And
it fits.
Looks so nice.
And she's like, it's a beautiful piece. And then
he starts
moves
stroking
closer.
Her hand.
He like holds her hand and he's talking about, yeah, this is the ring that my father gave my mother and stuff like that. And they have like this cute little moment. And then of course it's a cock block. So they, because this entire season is just an enormous cock block between Anthony and Kate every time. And it's usually Edwina.
Right.
And Edwina and her and Lady Mary come in Kate like has this whole thing where she can't get the ring off.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I was waiting for this, and then she finally gets it off and it's whatever.
Okay. I am going to say I'm gonna do the book thing again. I know that pisses you off, but
yeah. It's just because I haven't read the book, so it's not like I'm like thinking about that.
Right. But I am. So there's a whole sequence like after, because they are forced to get engaged, of course, in the book. Anthony does not bring a jeweler with him. He just shows up with the ring to try it on.
I feel like
that
would make more sense.
Right. He just shows up with the ring to see if it fits and how it looks on her. And then there's like groping and making out and things like that, which
cute.
Of course would have been a lot more fun to watch than this shit.
Yes. Well,
just
also,
saying.
Well, also, I think that like after Kate gets the ring off and gives it to Edwina, it's like, this is yours. And then Auntie is like, you want a promenade? I'm like, are you not going to get the ring fitted on Edwina? Like, are you just going to like leave the jeweler there with his cake? Like, what are you doing? What's the plan? And so like, then they leave. And well, okay. And Lady Mary's like, I have a headache. I'm not going to go. And then Lady Mary's okay, your Kate's going with me.
Right. But there's a reason Lady Mary has a headache. And that is because her parents are going to be coming to dinner.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was before.
So Lady Danbury comes in and says, hey, the Sheffields are coming to dinner. And Lady Mary's like, shit.
I have a headache. Bye. I'm not going to deal with this.
And
right
Kate
this
is also like, shit, because this is her fault that they're coming. And so she's trying to get out of like going and promenading. And Lady Danbury is like, aw, hells no, you're coming with me and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, so they're promenading and Lady Danbury is basically wanting Kate to just get over Anthony and back off.
Right. So she's like, they talk about the fact that Kate's been lying about the Sheffields, and Lady Danbury basically tells Kate, like, look, you wouldn't be happy if this engagement got broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Edwina would be heartbroken.
Right, but she also, she's like, you know, it seems to me that you kind of want this to fall apart, right? But think about the consequences of that. Because you would be penniless, it would be a scandal your family wouldn't get over. Don't do this.
Yeah, just back off, let it happen. Even if you're miserable, you just need to let it happen for everyone's sake.
Right, and so while they're doing the promenade,
Dorset comes up.
And
I like Dorset.
Right. No, he's actually
he's a sweet guy.
Cute.
He's the prince. I love it.
Not exactly. He is cute and sweet and baby face. So he is definitely.
Well,
like,
no, he's the prince in that he's a sweet guy.
Yeah, he's a sweet
who's
guy.
Who's an option, but not a real option, but
right.
like an option.
But again, you know, it is good that they're showing that, hey, Kate's on the market too.
Yeah,
hello.
Kate's gorgeous. Everyone should want to be with her, even if, well, okay, not everyone. But like,
some people should
show interest in Kate.
For sure. So,
and so Dorset's like, hey, do you want to take a turn about the lake or whatever?
And then Kate's rude to him. And Lady Danbury has to cover. She's like, no, I'm tired. I don't want to. And she's like, oh, no, you're not too tired for this. Bye.
And then Kate goes with him and they were linking arms. They go past Anthony, Edwina, and Violet. And Anthony is just staring at them with the most intense, jealous gaze ever.
Hilarious.
I love it. I have to say, I know we are going to talk about best part, but obviously this is one of my absolute favorite scenes because it proves how stupid
this is. I have one really,
is.
Really good scene that comes in this sequence that I really like.
Yes,
but other than
I know
that,
what you're talking about.
I know you know. So they go off. Edwina's like talking to Antony about, oh, Dorset would be a good choice for Carrie.
They're a handsome couple, don't you think? Don't you think, Antony?
And Antony's like glaring at everybody.
And Violet notices.
Violet's like, now I've got to cover for my son being rude because he's clearly.
What do you think about the flowers?
What colors do you like? Edwina?
They're literally drowned out as he like watches them. And Violet's like, don't you agree, Antony? And Antony's like, yeah,
absolutely. Of course I agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so also promenading, Penelope is talking to Colin.
See Prudence in a boat being like, look at me. I'm like,
I
hate you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate you.
Prudence is just so silly.
And then Colin's just like, Penelope mentions the ruby mines in America, and he's literally like, oh yeah, hey, maybe I should go talk to him. That sounds like an interesting thing.
Yeah, and Penelope's kind of like, no, don't, please. Don't.
She doesn't know. But she doesn't know about it. So
no, she doesn't know what the issue is, but I think she's just like concerned that Colin is looking for this external something to make himself valuable, and she sees him as valuable the way he is.
That's a sweet way to put it.
So I think that's part of it. But then here's the other thing. They talk about where is Eloise.
Eloise
has lied.
Eloise told the family, oh, I'm going to go flower picking with Penelope.
Flower arranging.
Sorry, flowering.
Like, that sounds
for flower arranging. And then she's like, oh, yeah. And Penelope, like a real one, she covers for her. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm meeting up with her later. Yeah, of course. And she covers for her like a great best friend.
And you see the wheels turning in
like,
her head.
Where the fuck is she?
Where is Eloise? What the fuck is she up to? This is ridiculous. So then
we go over to Eloise. And
right.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Eloise abandons her maid on the wrong side of the tracks like a bitch. Why did you do that to your poor maid?
Yeah, your poor maid is stuck over there. But like, so Eloise dumps her maid to go to this like political type meeting.
Yeah.
She runs into the printer guy who now is going to have a name, Theo.
Theo.
And basically
Here's my problem, because she mentioned Theo Thorne. Or whatever the fuck his name is. Mm-hmm. she mentions Theo before. Like, when they're at Opry Hall, she's like, I've gained the acquaintance of Theo. She never knew his name. So, first of all, girl, how do you... I know it's his reading. She read him. But, like, she made it sound like they actually talked like normal people and not that her, she just threw insults at him. Like, that's not... I made the acquaintance. No, you just fucking, like, just yelled at him.
Yeah.
But also, like, she made it sound like they had met, like, several times before. And then, so when this happened, I was like, what?
Right,
and
so
they're introducing themselves and, like, whatever.
Yeah, they're getting each other's names. And she's like, I know your name. And he's like, oh, whatever.
And then she's like, I have some notes on your...
On your pamphlets. Should I use a pencil?
Okay, here's the thing. I wrote this down. I don't know if I agree with it anymore, but I wrote it down. Even though I don't care about Eloise's subplot, I'm okay with her being open to new ideas and exchanging them in a more healthy way than just screaming at somebody.
Right. And
like,
I think
she's calmer than she was.
This is a little cute. He's clearly interested in her because she's pretty, and she's like talking about the substance.
Yeah, she's talking about the actual substance of it, not just the whole idea
right.
of something. And
right.
I think that's what I like about this part, and I don't mind it as much as when she was just yelling at him.
Let's
and Theo's adorable.
He's
I love
cute.
Theo. He's cute.
Yeah, so that's good.
And at least she's not insulting him that much. She's just like, do you have a pencil? I have some questions. I have some, like, things I want to talk about right here.
Shall I mark it up for you?
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, that's fine. It's more of an exchange of
ideas.
It's more of an exchange of ideas between two people than her just yelling at him about, like, having any opinion ever.
It's still a little bit, because the way she talks about it is, like, she's going to, like, fix his grammar or something.
No, yeah, I just, that's whatever. But, like, I like this better than how she was before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So we cut back to the boats.
Mm-hmm.
Kate is on a boat with Mr. Dorset.
They're having a nice time.
They are, and they're talking about India and how he's like, look, I'm studying. I'm a doctor, and I need to go to India.
And then,
and then
she mentions that she's going to go back to India, and he's like, well, will you be open to having friends there as well? Like, I might be visiting just because they have great medical practices there and whatever and stuff to learn. And then she's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would definitely be open to having you visit and that kind of stuff. And that's really sweet.
Right.
And then you see Antony just glaring.
Right, like he's on the dock going, he looks like a thunderstorm. He does that so well. Like, you know, like the storm is coming. He's like, death.
He has the best, like, he's so expressive
intense
with his eyes.
Yeah, his eyebrows, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He literally, you like, you know exactly what he's thinking whenever he's looking at somebody, and yeah, especially when he's looking at Kate, and he's jealous, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's really,
I could not help but laugh the entire time. It was so great.
It was adorable. But, so
then they make, Will's.
Will's there with his wife, Alice. I'm noting names.
Yeah,
now.
Alice, okay. And she is there, and she's going to recruit men to go to the gentleman's club. I don't know why. I guess pride is a big part of it for Will, but Will doesn't really want to, like, feel
beg
like he's
people,
recruiting.
Right. And
which
she's
is
like,
fair, I
you
guess.
You need people.
And she's like, well, I'm not too prideful to do this, so whatever. And they talk to Lord Featherington, and they're just like, hey, he's do like, you want to go to the gentleman's club? And he's like, yeah, totally.
They talk a little bit about boxing, and Lord Featherington acts like he had boxed in his day, and it's like,
yeah,
Will's kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
And you notice that the Cowpers are watching this whole thing with Lord Featherington. It's like, whatever.
And Lady Featherington pulls him aside, blah, 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 and then he's like, stop going to the Modiste. Because, well, because you're wasting more money.
Oh, wait, stop going to the Modiste. When did that happen? Last season.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think that she'd learn when she's...
But no.
In financial distress, but whatever.
No. So then they go to the dock again, and they pull up. Dorset and Kate pull up to the dock, and Dorset's, like,
up.
Trying to, like, tie the boat off.
Yeah, he's trying to tie it, and then Anthony and Edwina, well, Edwina, first of all, she's like, hey, you seem to be having a lot of fun, and then Kate's like, she's just trying to make me stay. And then
Dorset's like, I'm joining in that.
Yeah, I'm going to join in that effort. It's really cute of him. And then
Angie's
like,
just not speaking.
Well, no, Angie's just like, you're not tying it right. And then ties it for him. Dorset, like, gets out of the boat and has his hand stretched out for Kate. Angie pushes him aside, and then he, like, offers Kate his hand, and he's just like, Miss Sharma, and then she's just like, Lord Bridgerton.
Right, so she steps out of the boat, and something happens with, like, Newton the dog or
something.
Okay,
yeah, no, they're holding hands. She notices she, like, pulls away, like, really quickly. It causes him to stumble into Newton, and then he pushes him and Dorset go off, flying off the dock and
into
the
water. And then, you know, actually,
wet.
So he took his jacket off before he got out of the water.
And Kate and Edwina are watching this, and then Kate's like, it's not polite to stare. And
then
she looks at him and
staring.
Is just like, scans him up and down. I was like, oh.
And Edwina's looking at Kate like, you're staring? I'm like, hey. Edwina's a little clueless about this Kate Antony thing, which
we get to that.
Okay.
It's so funny to me.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not proper to share, whatever. And then Antony comes out of the water a bit Colin Firth-y, you know.
Very Colin Firth.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, hello.
Hello, Jonathan Bailey. Long time no see.
Exactly. Which, you know, again, that was really, really good.
Yeah, I think that,
and again,
yeah.
The falling in the water thing is a little bit different in the book. I don't actually care about the differences, so...
Nor should you. It's a great scene.
Oh, no. I mean, right, no. I have no issue with the way this is done.
Great. Let's move on.
Okay.
All right, Eloise, we're at the Bridgerton house, and
right,
Penelope...
Right, because Penelope's like, where the fuck was Eloise?
Well, also, they have a daily walk they go on anyway, so she's there, and then Eloise is like... comes downstairs. It's like, oh, you're here. It's like, yeah, we have our daily walk, didn't you know?
Or did you forget?
Eloise is like, oh, I must have forgotten. I'm like, girl, it's a daily thing. How do you forget that? But, like, then she's like, Penelope's like, oh, yeah, the whole lake party thing, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, where were you? And she's like, oh, I had to run errands for my mom and that kind of stuff. And Penelope's like, you're lying to me? Bitch. Why are you lying to me?
I was standing there with Colin, and Colin, you know, so she knows. And
but also, why wouldn't Eloise think that, like, Penelope wouldn't ask where she is?
Right, like, Penelope doesn't know your entire fucking family.
Exactly.
Like, you're so,
like,
dumb.
She's so close with Colin and their entire family that, like, it's not like she wouldn't ask.
Well, and here's how smart Penelope is. She's like...
I love the way
she
approaches this.
She goes to Eloise's maid, who's, like, walking by. She's
her
like,
poor maid.
Yeah, and so she asks the maid, it's like, so...
she must have misplaced something and
Miss
lost
Eloise
it
must
there.
Have lost her reticule, and like, you know, can you tell me where she was so that maybe we can go find it? And the maid's like... Ugh.
I don't want to go to that side of town again.
Yes, Bloomsbury's not safe. She'll we'll never see it again, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then Penelope's left with, oh, God, what are you doing, Eloise?
Yeah, exactly. And so We cut back to the Featheringtons, and again, there's a yawn going on here. Like,
Lady Featherington,
the jeweler, face of veil.
Basically, the entirety of the scene is just Lady Featherington made, like, really just normal look, not normal looking. I cannot think of the
costume word. Jewelry.
No, I was gonna say realistic and
costume jewelry.
Counterfeit necklaces.
Right.
That would fool a jeweler, and so they're going to use those, and they're going to make a profit, and they're going to be able to get out of ruin, I don't care. Anyway, then we go to the art academy, and yay. Benedict sees the nude woman not nude right now, and she...
she happens to be an artist! Shocking!
And then she's just like, I'm working on this, and then Benedict's like, oh, I didn't know you were a student. She's like, no, they don't allow women in the art academy.
Unless we're naked.
And he's just like, so you model so that you learn something from the lessons. And then right. She's like, yeah, exactly. It's really smart. And mm-hmm. then she's just like, I'm trying to get a grasp on how to draw the male form. And then Benedict's like, I'll pose for you or whatever. And he does, and it's really funny. It's cute.
Right. And then she's like, well, you know,
I'm trying to do it nude. And then he's just like, strips for her. Like,
I'm a magician, bro. I will take off my clothes.
Automatically strip.
Hello.
This stuff comes off very easily. It's like I was born a stripper.
This seems to be a thing on Bridgerton.
No, it's so funny. It's so funny.
Oh, so
and it looks great.
Oh, he does.
He's a handsome
man. He is. And so then we cut to Kate and Lady Mary in the garden at Danbury House.
Talking about duty versus heart.
Right, and so Lady Mary's like, look, you know, I'm nervous about seeing my parents. Last time I saw them was the night your father proposed, and they were, like, so awful to me, I haven't, you know, seen them since.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, she goes on, and it's, again, dense. People just don't pick up on stuff in this season, and it's kind of like, what the hell is wrong
except
with
for,
you?
Like, Violet and Daphne.
Yeah.
Everyone else is oblivious.
Lady Danbury.
And Lady Danbury.
Right. So, and Daphne apparently learned from, like, her own experience last season. So we're going to have, like, these three people going forward or something who you can count on to, like, get it.
Yeah.
Everybody else and maybe Antony in the next season because, you know, Antony may have learned from this season.
What's hard?
Hard to say. I mean, he is having a character arc, so there's a thing. But in any case, so Lady Mary's
gone. Somewhere out there is a character arc.
Right, but she's like, oh, this whole thing is so great because Edwin is so in love with, and, you know, they aren't going to have a problem. My parents aren't going to have a problem with Edwina marrying
Antony.
Lord Bridgerton because she's so in love with him and it's so perfect. And you know, you're getting exactly what you've always wanted, which is your freedom. So yay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she doesn't see that Kate's like
hurting.
Staring into the middle distance like, I'm going to die.
Poor Kate. It's just
I feel sorry for her, but we're going to talk about some things that really piss me off about Kate.
Well, no, we'll get there. But like at the same time, like I feel really bad because she's just... Imagine, okay, I'm trying to imagine myself in her position. First of all, I think I did this at the end of the episode last time, but, like, I was thinking about how she is, like, she sees her sister, and her sister's, like, very happy and determined to get this guy, and Kate is just left to, on her own, like, feeling all these feelings and thinking that she's alone in those feelings, and then he starts, like, talking to her about, like, how he's feeling all that, too. And then he almost kisses her. They almost have a moment. Daphne comes in, blah, 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 blah. And then the next morning, when she's about to tell her sister the truth about what happened because she feels like she's ruined her chances,
mm-hmm.
Angie comes in and proposes to her sister.
There's
and
so
it's just like, how is she
bullshit.
Supposed to feel about that? And then all these, like, things that he's talking to her about, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, what... Are we just ignoring, like, what happened at Aubrey Hall? Like, how can you ignore that?
Right, and Kate says that with, you know,
the
Lord of the Veils.
Eating cake.
And, you know, the whole time Anthony's like, well, I'm glad we got out of this. Like,
and he always,
aren't, you dumbass.
He also always says, I'm a gentleman.
You have to remind yourself because you clearly have to say it over and over.
We'll get to
yeah,
stuff like that.
Because exactly.
I just wanted to think about how she's so miserable right now.
She,
and she can't
she
say anything about it because everyone else, like the other guy who's a part of this, is in denial.
Right.
And so, like, she's left on her own to feel all these feelings and try not to mess things up for her family.
Right. So we cut to Violet basically reading the riot act to Antony, like, hey, dude, you are setting a bad example for your siblings
this
because you're not marrying for love. And, you know, while she's, like, happy that Sheffields might get reconciled, and she seems to think that's a possibility, Angie's kind of like, well, you know, your love with Dad
it's an exception, not the rule. But also, like, she's just like, but you didn't even try. You didn't even try to fight for love or anything like that this season. You didn't even try. And then his response to everything is just, my feelings don't matter.
Right. I'm like, dude, I can't dishonor Edwina by breaking off the engagement.
I'm like, dude, if you're going to be miserable, just do it.
Right, but Violet gives him the out. And she's like, but she could break up with you.
Yeah, there's an option.
There's an option. So, like, let's see if we can make that happen.
Good for Violet. We need this over.
Right, and it's like, oh, please make it
and
stop. Right?
In my opinion, I'll talk about that at the end.
Right, but Violet says, you know, I don't want you to live your whole life in regret. This is a huge decision, and you're fucking it up. Stop it. And it's just like, no. And so then
she just wants him to be honest about his feelings, and he's just ignoring it.
Right, and so
she also doesn't want him to live his life in regret.
Right, that's
and
what
her
she says.
His father's going to be disappointed with him as well. Like, right. Seriously, dude, you're letting everyone down by doing this to yourself, and you think you're not.
Right, and she points out, like,
you're making Edwina unhappy.
No, Edwina is supposed to take my place as head of this family, like, and you know, Angie's like, you don't think she's up to the task? And she's kind of looking at him like,
really?
Dude.
Really?
Dude.
You think that she can replace me? I think that Edwina, if she tried to take over the family, would just crumble.
She doesn't have the skills.
She doesn't have the skills. She doesn't have the grit, and she doesn't have the determination
deal with a bunch of Bridgertons.
She needs Kate to do Bridgerton for her.
Right, not one Bridgerton bro, but the whole mass of Bridgerton bros.
None of them
bros.
Are going to take her seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
And Benedict takes Kate seriously because she can do shit.
Right.
And Benedict, like, mocks Antony and whatever because he realizes he, like, undermines her skill or whatever.
Right.
But they respect Kate.
Right, and Daphne respects Kate, but she's
Eloise likes Kate.
Eloise likes Kate. Hyacinth, they all fucking see it.
Gregory, I'm sure Francesca, wherever the fuck she is, likes Kate, but we don't know her opinions, now do we? That was a tangent.
Because I left her in the woods.
She was the deer that they were trying to catch in the woods.
I'm telling you, she wasn't wearing an orange vest. This is a thing. All right, so...
I can't believe we're going back to the orange vest thing.
We're cutting back to Danbury House. So Kate and Edwina are getting ready, and Edwina's like, oh, well, Antony, blah, blah, blah. And so Kate's kind of like, oh, so you call him Antony now? She's like, well, not yet. I'm like, you're fucking engaged.
If you don't call him by a Christian name by now,
like
what the
what
fuck
are you doing? And like, you see the internal eye roll on Kate, like, really?
Kate is just not having a good day. She's not having a good life.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what's happening? Like,
and she starts to try to tell Edwina at least the truth about the Sheffield.
Lady Danbury comes in and stops her, and I'm like, girl. And then she's about to go after her, and then Lady Danbury stops her. I'm like,
Lady Danbury, let it roll.
I understand her reasoning, but Lady Danbury should have just let her do that so it didn't happen at the dinner table.
Right, but this is another one of those situations, and I'm making a complete tangent. Kate has this gorgeous, gorgeous teal dress on that has, like, little diamonds, and they look like stars.
Yeah, they're beautiful, but that's not the point.
I know it's not the point, but it's, like, the best part of the scene, because the rest of it is, like, fucking stupid.
True.
Okay, there we go.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
All right, so, but Lady Danbury does say something to Kate. She's like, look, I know you had designs on Antony. It's like, damn, ouch.
Oh.
But, you know, passions can cool, and you having money in the alternative, like, a comfortable life.
It's going to be the better alternative than making people unhappy.
Right, so... So Kate's kind of like, okay, grit my teeth. They go into the drawing room, I guess, where Lady Sheffield is, you know, gushing about, oh, Edwina's
so
pretty.
I don't like the Sheffields.
You're supposed to hate them.
Well, anyway, even before, like, everything happens, like,
they're awful.
They're so fake, and they're just, and Edwina never knew
they're
them.
They're shallow. I mean, they're super
shallow.
But so is Edwina.
I don't think Edwina... Okay, I think Edwina cares more, is very just naive, and I'm trying to defend her. I like Edwina. However, she's such she's an
beautiful.
Idiot.
She's beautiful, but...
No, that's whatever. Not... That, again, that's not part of it. I'm talking about her personality. I'm
whatever.
Talking about... Anyway.
Whatever. So, the Sheffields are like, you know, there are references. Edwina's like, oh, but my sister's, you know, like, here and great and whatever. And the Sheffields just don't even want, they want to shun Kate entirely. They want to shun Lady Mary entirely. And it's like, you came to this dinner. You knew they were going to be there. What the fuck is wrong with
you
people?
Did you think it was just going to be, like, Edwina and Antony? Like, no, of course not.
Right.
Your daughter will be there and her other child will be there.
Like, Lady Danbury probably knows some shit. So, come on. I mean, it's just dumb. So, they are behaving really stupidly.
Things get so awkward.
Right. So, you know, there's, like, discussion about, Kate can shoot and the marriage. And, oh, you need to come to our property, which is, you know, close, I guess, to Aubrey Hall, but not as cool.
Yeah.
and so, they are, like, outwardly dissing Lady Mary at this dinner
because Lady Mary didn't go with the person that they chose for her.
Right. Well, he had all this land
and he went with
this.
A clerk who already had a child, and then Kate just oh my God, Kate during the scene, the actress does a fantastic job. She's just like so expressive with everything.
Right.
And Antony notices too.
Right. And Lady Mary jumps in at that point. God bless her.
No. She jumps in after they say, they literally say, oh yeah, with your, we're here to talk to like our grandchild. It's like your grandchildren. You have more than one. I have more than one daughter. They are both my children and you will treat them as such. And it was the best choice I ever made, leaving home to fall in love with that man.
As opposed to you people,
forcing your ideals on me. That is not what I wanted, and I got to choose love, and I will take that every second of every day over what you guys were going to offer me.
Right, and so then there's this discussion, Lady Mary talks about like how cruel they were to her and how it just basically ruined them. And
everything that they cared about was the money and the wealth and the station. And then it's just like, well, what do you think you're doing?
Well, right, because they start pointing out the things that Kate has been lying about. Right?
I never thought that Lady Mary wasn't involved in this decision and that it was just Kate.
Oh, no, like, that was obvious to me.
It wasn't obvious to me upon first watch. Like, when Kate was talking to Lady Danbury about it.
Stupid part
to me. Yeah, because, like, also, first of all, they don't even like Kate that much. Like, they don't really see her as anything but just a...
A gold digger. That's how they see Kate, because they don't know anything about her other... They felt that way about the husband, too.
Yeah.
The dad. And
but
so,
also, you have to wonder why they have to wonder why they made the, like, deal in the first place just with Kate.
They made the deal with Kate to get their granddaughter back. That's all they care about is the line, right?
Yeah.
The bloodline. I mean, it's just so fucking dumb.
And
anyway,
Kate
so,
offered somehow.
Right. Like, oh, I can get her there and I'll get her married. You know, you just take care of my mom and my sister, essentially, is what she was trying to do. She's like, I'll handle myself. I'll go be a governess. You don't have to worry about me. But these people are related to you. You can have them back. Basically, she's selling them. And again,
it's ridiculous.
There's this whole subplot, and I have it like in all caps. I hate this subplot because it makes Kate look so petty and so dishonest. And
she lied to her family.
She lied to, right, exactly. And so
her only family, the only thing she has in this world.
Right, and not about anything like good. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, her mom made a choice.
Unselfish reasons either.
Right. So her mom.
No, unselfish as in she wasn't. Okay. If she had done this. She shouldn't have done it anyway. But like she. I was trying to think. But like she. By unselfish, I mean like she was just really. She was trying to make things better off for Edwina and Lady Mary, but she wasn't thinking about how much this would hurt them.
Right.
Also, how is she going to explain this? Like,
after
they get married and the Sheffields didn't say anything, they get Edwina gets married to Antony, and then this money shows up out of nowhere. How is Kate supposed to like say that? It's like, oh yeah, no, by the way, like you guys will be fine. I'm leaving for India. The Sheffields will take care of you. And how is Lady Mary supposed to feel about that? Because she doesn't want anything to do with them.
Right. She made a choice a long time ago. I'm not going to take money from them. I'm good.
Yeah.
I will make it work.
It was her decision.
Right. It was her decision. And here's Kate taking it away from her. Who the fuck are you?
Exactly.
So this is part of my problem. And again, I liked Kate much better in the books, in part because of this stupid-ass subplot that they created for this series, and it's just... It makes me furious.
I think that I would like it better if Lady Mary was in on it in a certain capacity, where Lady Mary at least was aware of the deal and was just like, fine, she will get married, whatever, she will get married to a high station, and then you will take care of her, and I will just, everything right. will be fine. But right. Kate doing this for her is just so, right. so horrible.
Right. So everybody, when they find out that this is the shit that's going on, is fucking furious.
Violet tries to defuse the situation
right,
slightly.
Right, but Angie, like, stands up for the Sharma and says, look, Sheffield, you got to go. And it is. It's lovely. And, I mean, because he does the right thing. Yes. But then he's also like, I'm getting the fuck out
of
here.
Yeah, no, he's leaving, too.
I'm furious. Violet's furious. You know, Edwina is pissed at Kate.
Lady Mary is just so hurt.
Yeah, she's so hurt.
Like, no, when she found out, she was like, what did you do?
And why? You're ruining all of us with this fuck shit. What is wrong with you?
Literally, Edwina literally did all of this on her own. And without, if you didn't even have the...
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about how Edwina, like, got Antony all on her own.
Mm-hmm.
If this whole bullshit wasn't even a part of it, she still would have been fine.
Yeah.
They would have taken care of her.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like you even needed the dowry and stuff like that. It's not like Antony clearly doesn't really care about that kind of stuff, and nor does he need to.
Right. And so, you know, but
everyone leaves.
Well, Kate goes chasing after Antony, and it's a little dumb to me. It's like, let's add stupid onto stupid. What a brilliant fucking idea this is. But there is one part of this next scene that I like.
Oh, which, I love.
Right. But, you know,
but that also makes me angry.
Right, Antony at this point is still kind of like, all right.
But hey, he's out.
Blaming Kate. This is an out. But then makes me so. He's like, I will be free of this torment. India is just not far enough for you to go, because then I can be free of this torment. You're the bane of my existence and the object of all my desires. I dream of you night and day.
It's such a good speech.
Like, oh, wow.
But what the fuck, dude?
And he's like, you don't even know the things I can teach you. And it's like...
That's seducing a woman. And they're breathing on each other. And yeah, it's yeah, a...
And they're
it,
still...
No, it's close to kissing number three.
And still no kissing ridiculous in all caps in my notes. And they almost kiss again.
They should have just kissed there.
They should have kissed a long time ago.
They should have kissed at the bee.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
bee sting, bam, makeout sessions. Exactly. Not on the tree. Like Sienna, but better.
But better, because it's somebody you actually care about.
And then you and then you get caught, and then you have to go.
Get married, which would have been fine.
In the library that night. You should have just been making out, and then Daphne comes in, and that would have been even better, like, not juxtaposition.
Right, but then he talks about, oh, we've got this impossible situation, and if I marry Kate, then I'll see you all the time, and I'll just... If I marry Edwina, I will see Kate all the time and dream of you. Is that what you want for your sister?
And Kate's like, no. And then he's like,
it's so fucking dumb to me, because you could have married her all along. Mm-hmm. All it would have taken is like, I love you, I'm going to marry you.
And then Kate probably would have said yes.
You can do that, you fucking dumbass.
No, but also, like, it's all his fault.
Yes, because, it is his
fault.
Okay,
all right, but let's all calm down for a second. And let me tell you how...
I'm a woman of action. No.
Mom, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this because... let's just talk about how this is all Antony Bridgerton's fault. Antony Bridgerton...
No, it's all Kate's fault, because she...
No, no.
She's playing games and it's wrong.
That's not the point. That's not what I was talking about.
He should have proposed.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. Antony literally, by proposing to Edwina, has ruined everything.
Right, by being a dumbass. I mean, but again, he has this...
Here's the thing. Mom, let me talk. He didn't have to propose to Edwina at all. He almost made it clear at the dinner table that night that he, like, when he was given the chance to, like, speak and propose to her at dinner, he chose not to. See? He had a fucking choice. He proposes to Edwina, and now he wants a fucking out, and now he has an out, and now he's just like, okay, well, and then he makes it sound like he's, even if, like, he breaks off the engagement, he's not going to go after Kate for no goddamn reason.
Right, yes. That's the thing that makes me angry. It's like, okay,
we'll
you
get
can break
to that.
This
we'll,
off.
No, there's another scene
about this. But I agree. It's
I'd like to...
What the fuck is wrong with you, Anthony?
All right, I'd like to apologize to the viewers for, like, us screaming so much. We were just very passionate about this.
That would be, like, the hearers. But still. All right,
well,
so
what?
Feathers... The hearers, not the...
I said...
You said viewers.
Oh, I almost said... why hearers? It's
listeners. Whatever. The
I
viewers.
Thought I said listeners.
You did not.
And
so...
You're viewing a picture.
The Featheringtons... Prudence wants to go to a ball, and they haven't been invited to a ball, and when, I don't really fucking care, okay?
There are some investors for the air, and that's it. And then you got Edwina, who was upset with Kate, and wanted her to be honest with her. Yeah, be more pissed at Kate. Punch her. I don't care. Just do something, Edwina. I want to see her be a girl of action. Do something, anything that gives her agency. Edwina is just a pawn, and she lets herself be a pawn.
Right, and she's like, oh, Kate, I know you've been lying about stuff. And she assumes it's just the Sheffields. It's like,
think, Edwina.
Think. Right, exactly. And I think the thing that Kate was lying about in the book is just... Like,
what was she lying about in the book?
She doesn't really lie a whole lot. What happens is, like, Anthony kisses her.
I need to
her.
Read the book.
Okay, Anthony kisses her in the library.
Okay.
Like, earlier on. And she doesn't tell anybody. She doesn't out him for that. She doesn't tell Edwina, like, hey, you need to stay away from this guy because he kissed me.
She just tells her to stay away.
Right, exactly. And
hey,
so,
she doesn't need to give all the details of her life.
No.
I mean, it's her sister, but, like, you should, like...
Right, she's just like, just you know, he's not...
Be aware of what...
Yeah, like, he's a rake. He's like...
He does all this stuff, but he maybe did it to me.
she never says, like, hey, and again, as a sister, you would, like...
You would like to be honest, completely honest with her, but hey, she still at least tried.
That kind of thing is the only thing she lies about.
I prefer that to this bullshit.
Right, exactly, that's my point. It's like, as a character flaw, I can live with that. I can't live with this shit. It's
she
like, this
ruined
is
her
unacceptable.
Entire family's life, and then she didn't. Yeah. And then in the end, the Sheffields aren't even giving her inheritance. After all of this bullshit, they're not going to give her a penny.
Exactly, and Anthony doesn't care, but
he doesn't. But he does mention dowry, and then she's like, "You don't care about a dowry. You couldn't care less." And then he's like, "I'm looking for a way out."
Yeah, it's like, duh. I'm trying to get out of this.
He's trying to look for anything.
And he's like, my mother and Lady Danbury are going to come up with a way for me to get out of this, and then I'm out of it, and we don't have to see each other. You know, it's like just done.
That's not the reason you should get out of this. You should get out of this to see each other.
Right. But anyway, so Kate says that she thought she was doing the right thing, and Edwina's like, I'm not a little girl. I'm going to get married. It's like,
just because you're not a little girl anymore, she's like, I'm ready to get married. It's like, yeah, but maybe you should think about it more.
Yeah, but then Edwina's like, I still love Anthony. I want to be his wife.
She says she loves him.
She doesn't even know what fucking love is. She likes the idea of being married to a Viscount.
She says she loves him, it's like, did you see how he defended us? And it's just like, yeah, but you don't know him.
Right.
You also clearly don't... love is completely different from just, like, liking... You love the idea of him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't love him as a person.
He gave a speech. And,
not to her!
Right. And, of course, even during the speech, he's looking at Kate. Hello! Pay attention, girlfriend. But she doesn't.
Again, listeners, I'm sorry for yelling.
Yeah, so, anyway, so...
We
like,
should have,
Kate,
like, a headphone
Kate,
warning on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Kate is... still lying to Edwina in this, and I'm just like,
well, she's being honest. She's not being honest. Oh, hey, think also again. Okay, this is one part where I will defend Kate. What do you do after you say after like your sister says that she thinks she loves the guy that you love, and then they're engaged still, technically speaking, they're still engaged. And what are you supposed to say? Like, to be completely honest, there, like, you're just gonna make things worse.
I don't know.
Kate has this idea from Lady Jamboree that things will fade and whatever, and she'll just get over it.
Not this dishonest, so I couldn't. I don't know
I'm
what
not
I'm
that
doing.
Dishonest
that
either,
so I just
I'm
I don't
also,
even know what to say.
But I'm just thinking about if I was ever in this position somehow, I probably wouldn't have said anything about. Oh yeah, by the way, I'm also in love with him because she's still not being honest with herself about how she feels.
Ugh, whatever.
Because how is she supposed to express that to Edwina?
Yeah,
she doesn't
even
know herself. Anthony's
finally at least been honest about his feelings.
Yes.
Not about what he can do about it, because he's still
he can do anything
honest.
About it.
Yes, he could do anything he wanted. So we cut to Eloise going to talk to Theo, because if I talk about that anymore, I'm going to just yell some more. So, and
Penelope sees Eloise and Theo together at the end. Anyway, That's basically everything that happens, and right, I don't really care. Theo's cute, but whatever.
Lady Whistledown talks about duty and people having duty.
No, I wrote down Benedict is the one having the most sex and nudity so far in this season, quote.
Yeah,
and,
baby.
No, and then why, question mark.
Good question.
Why is he the one who's getting the most action this season? Right, he's not the main character in this season.
Instead of
but
sex.
But good for Benedict.
Instead of sex, we have Kate and Angie both riding horses with that green screen. But anyway, Benedict is having sex with the model.
Good for him.
Angie's in the bath again, and then he goes riding, and they in the background there is Alanis Morissette's "You Wanna Know."
Yeah, "You Wanna Know" on string quartet.
Now, the thing is, you know, it's so gentle and kind of sad, and that song is a screaming in the car song.
Oh, absolutely, it's like, a breakup song for sure.
Yeah,
it's like one of those. It's literally a breakup album, but like also right, like Jacob's Little Pill is a breakup album, it's a great but album. Like you were screaming
right, and then there's like. You know, it's like it's so gentle and just kind of sad. I'm kind of like
it's so depressing.
It is. It's
this it's a depressing thing. Song regardless, but especially right. in this arrangement. Anyway, Kate and Anthony meet, and he says that he will end the engagement and he will not have to see Kate anymore. What the
Our
fuck?
Our paths need never cross again. And
bullshit.
I have
shit.
And all caps. So fucking stupid.
That's not what you want, Anthony. You want to break up this engagement to be with Kate.
Right. And it's like there's no basis for that.
Yeah, what you can break off the engagement and be with Kate, which would make you happy.
Right, and there's no obstacle.
Capable.
Right, there's no obstacle.
She's a woman of station. She's what you want in a woman. Why aren't you just marrying her?
Because he's a dumbass.
I know.
And it's so like
Kate doesn't want him to. Kate doesn't want him to because it would hurt Edwina, and she says that the feelings they will have will pass because they have to.
Right, and so she uses his first name, though. It's
Anthony, please, just don't break off the engagement with Edwina.
Right.
Because that would ruin even more stuff. And then he agrees and leaves Kate crying.
Yeah, and I hate this so much. Kate cries, Anthony leaves, she's standing in the middle of the woods in a long velvet cloak, like, you know, whatever.
Her hair in a braid.
Oh, so sad.
About to go back on the bad green screen and go home.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, ugh.
Anyway.
It's so fucking stupid!
And that's the end of the episode, so what's your best part?
Anthony in a wet shirt. That is my best part. Okay.
I have two. I have the promenade at the lake, which the entirety of the stuff with Kate and Anthony at the promenade at the lake is great. And then, and off obviously with him and with a wet shirt, it's even better. And then Anthony's speech.
Where he actually admits
his feelings.
I'm
tormented by you.
Yes.
But also, it's like, even if you say that, like, it's so contradictory to what he does, because he's literally,
right.
he contradicts himself all the time, because he's literally like, oh yeah, I'm going to, you need to,
even I'll be if, around, you'll be in my head when I'm around you, so I don't want to be around you?
No, that's not even it. Like, it's just like, India wouldn't be far enough. It's like, well, you want, if you're breaking up the engagement, that you're saying that that's not going to, like, free you of her anyway, so why not stop fighting it? Like, yes. I don't know what he's talking about. Worst part.
Let's see. Worst. Oh, God. There are a lot of worst parts.
I have two.
Oh, God. You go first.
The Featheringtons.
Yeah.
And the mixed signals from Kate and Anthony.
Yeah, I just...
They're full of mixed signals.
The plot thing, the thing with Anthony thinking he can't just marry her is just so, and there's no basis. Nothing. It's just fucking stupidity. I mean, that's the thing that gets to me the most is that, and I consider that a writing flaw, so it's like, because this is...
They made the choice to do this. This
right.
wasn't in the books.
Right.
They're diverting from the books, and it's not making the show any better. We are more than halfway through this show, through this season. This is, like, past the halfway point, and what are we doing? The main couple's not together yet. Why? And they're pushing them apart even more.
Stupid-ass fucking bullshit.
Ugh.
All right, so how'd you grade this episode?
I gave it a D+.
Yeah.
I gave it a D+ because of the shirt scene. But also,
right.
I don't mind some of the subplots in there, other than the Featheringtons. I don't mind the Benedict subplot.
Oh,
it's brief. And Eloise, it doesn't annoy me as much as it did before, so it's not that bad. And Penelope figuring things out, and she's going to...
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
C-minus, D+.
Actually, I'm going to go C-, because I think I like this episode better than the last episode, because I could think of so many different things that could have happened, but I also, like, okay, for the last episode, to explain myself, for the last episode, I think that you could have just completely changed it and had him, like, propose to Kate and whatever. I had this whole plan. For this one, the continuation of it, it makes sense that the wedding's still going to go forward, but neither party are, like, excited about it, or he's also considering leaving and whatever. But they're
looking for an excuse, yeah.
I feel like it's a natural progression of what would probably happen if this would happen in the books or whatever. It would probably end up something similar to where they're both just unhappy and he's going to get married. But the way that they're talking about it is so dumb. Mm-hmm. And the back and forth about, like, well, I'm going to get out of this engagement so that I don't have to be near you anymore. It's like, that's not going to change anything, because apparently she's still going to torment you in India, so what the fuck is the point?
But again, the extra stupid part of Kate makes an argument, like, Edwina's still in love with you, so you have to marry her. First of all, that's dumb, but second, why does that carry any weight with Antony? There's no reason.
He doesn't care about Edwina.
It's just fucking stupid.
He cares about...
And he's like, I'm going to get married faster. What? That's just dumb.
Let's speed this train wreck up. It's going to be even more of a shit show.
Which would have been great if there weren't, like, three more episodes to this season.
But also, the three... Okay, and again, this is going to... Since we're talking about spoilers or whatever, the next three episodes is still bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the three episodes, like, consist of, oh, the main characters get together. Oh, we get to see their after-wedding bliss. No, we don't get fuck shit.
I'm with you on that.
That's why
this season is not as good.
We get, like, three things out of these last couple episodes that make me happy. Three big things in their relationship that make me happy.
We will get to them.
I'm not going to go into detail. There are three things. I just wanted to make that clear. These next three episodes, there are three things that actually are like, oh, awesome. Progress in the relationship. You get three things.
Right.
For fucking Daphne and Simon, they were married by now.
Right. So here, I will say this, and I've said it before. There are things about Antony's character growth, at least, that we're still even seeing in this. Like, Antony has this, hey, I'm having feelings, and he
expresses them, but then he just is an idiot.
He does stupid things about them, but at least he's expressing them. Kate is still... completely and totally full of shit. She's a liar.
Okay.
She's dishonest with herself. She's dishonest with everybody. And it makes me angry.
She has admitted that she has feelings, but she says they're going to pass. That's bullshit.
She doesn't even really say she has feelings.
She says these feelings that we have between us, they're going to pass. I'm like, that's bullshit. We all know.
Right, but she's never articulated what hers are. He's the only one who's ever said anything.
There's just so much heavy breathing.
Oh my God. All right. We are going to watch the next episode. And the next episode is called something.
I need to double check what it's called.
I can't remember.
We literally talked The Choice. Season 2, episode 6, The Choice. Okay, there are some things about the next episode I do like.
There are some things I like about it, too. Most of which are visual. But
I said there are only, like, three things that really, like, stick out. They're the big three things that happen, but, like, it's not like... there aren't good things in the next episodes. It's just, it's so annoying that these things happen so late in the season. Like, these, like, milestones that the main couple that we all know is happening has are so late. And it's, I don't know, it makes me sad. Anyway.
We'll talk about it. Tune in next time and join us for The Choice.
Don't say it like that. That's so weird.
The choice. So join us next time and
cheers.